जाति हारी। गोपी जन वाला कृपार तारी। जय गोपी जन वाला कृपार तारी। Yasoda Nandana Prajana Ranjana जय राधा माता कुंज बिहारी। किशोर किशोरी की जय। जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय। गौणी थाय की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल्ड टू वेरीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल्ड टू वेरीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल्ड टू वेरीज। Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading Canto 10. Chapter 14, and the text is number 8, which you can chant responsibly. Tate nukampam su samik samano unjanai vatma kritam vipakam. Krit Vagvapur Bir Vidadha Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bak Tate Nukampam Susamikshvamano Punjanai Vatma Kritam Vipakam. Ridvagvapabir Vidadham Namaste. Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bak. Tate nukampam su samikshamano Unjanai vatma kritam vipakam Ritvag vakvadbir vidadhan namaste Jivete yo mukti pade sadaya bak. Tate nukampam su samikshamano. Unjanai vatma kritana vipaksham. Sorry. Ridvag vipadbir vipaksham. Vidada Namaste. Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Sadaya Bak. Please chant. Tate Nukampam Sasamaikshamano. Janai Vatma Kritam Vipakam. Vidvag Vapavid Vidatam Namaste. Jiveta Yo Mukti Padesadaya Bak. Janai Vatma Kritam Vipakam. Vidvag Vapadvid Vidatan Namaste. Jiveta Yo Mukti Padesadaya Bhag. Okay. So the word for word translation. Tat. Therefore, te, yo, anukampam, compassion, su samikshama naha, earnestly hoping for, bunjana, enduring, eva, certainly. I may have spelled this wrong. Is it Ramakirtan? Done by himself. Vipakam, the fruits of results. Hrit, with his heart. Vak, words. Vapurbir, and body. Vadadan, oh sorry. Offering. Namaha. Obeisances. Te. Unto you. Jiveta. Lives. Yaha. Anyone who. Muktipade. To the position of liberation. Saha. He. Dayabak. The rightful heir. In the translation for text 8 by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation. For it has become his rightful claim. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word su samakshimana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, The Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord, and therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is perfectly designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words, Daya Bak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So that was, this canto is the purports of it by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitam Sha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishvari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarivyasya Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimatramam Padaswami Iti Namine Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimata Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Ashutya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he states that this particular verse or this particular prayer that Lord Brahma is chanting indicates that at this point, Lord Brahma has rejected other processes to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has, in fact, accepted bhakti as the means to attain Lord Krishna. this is in his commentary in Sarata Darshini on this particular verse. And the means to attain Krishna is very specific. It's through undeviated devotion. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is coming from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself on this point, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. So this is stated clearly by Krishna himself. The rest of that particular verse is, although he's imprisoned in his abode, he's all-pervading and everything is situated within him. That's Bhagavad Gita 8.22. Purusha na para partha bhaktya abhyasvanyaya yasyanta sthani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. And indeed, this acceptance of bhakti is very beautifully put by Srila Sanatana Goswami in summarizing Lord Brahma's prayer. He puts it this way. So this would be as though Lord Brahma is speaking. You liberate only those who patiently expect your sidelong glance of mercy. So it indicates relationship. So coming to the point of this kind of close attachment, where one is actually waiting for that glance or that sidelong glance of Lord Krishna, is actually due to his mercy. So being able to be attached to him is directly related to his merciful glance upon one. And the devotees who come to this point where they genuinely feel that attachment, because there has to be attachment if one is waiting for that glance, those devotees are the Shanta Bhaktas, because those are the ones who are the Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in the self. So they've actually come to the point of attaining love for Krishna due to his mercy. And also the mercy of his devotees, because that's inseparable. The two go together. And there's also the performance of austerities. In that category of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in the self and who have developed this attachment for Krishna due to the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, there's also a category of performers of austerities. So they've developed their faith in the path of bhakti, also by the mercy of the devotees, but there's a slight difference here, and I'm just going to explain that between the two categories of those who take pleasure in the self. This was quoted a few classes back, that the example of the Atmaramas who've attained love due to the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, there's the example given of the Kumaras and Sanak, who actually are considered Atmarama. The four Kumaras reveal their bhakti, so we get a little bit of insight into, so this is the first part of coming to be attached to Krishna. O Mukunda, until we realized your astonishing form of knowledge and bliss, with the complexion of a new tamal tree, we were absorbed in the indescribable Brahman beyond the senses and modes of material nature. So getting some insight into how there's a shift that starts happening. There's actually a realization of that form of Lord Krishna. So the practitioners of austerity, the Abba Atmaramas, who take pleasure in the self, they are those who worship the Lord while practicing yukta vairagya. So they're doing everything in a spirit of renunciation, but they don't give up their desire for liberation. So, and just by doing this practice also, they are going to overcome all the obstacles in order to be able to practice bhakti. Because their desire for liberation, the second category of devotees who come to that point of attachment, they have a desire from being freed from, you know, repeated birth and death, the samsara cycle, and they have that desire because they're aware of particularly the anger and lust that needs to be destroyed. And and so they're actually, they're not looking to merge with the Lord, so it's not that kind of desire for liberation. So I'm looking at this point of liberation a little bit because there's mention in the verse who are the persons that become eligible for liberation. So now, according to the devotee's attachment, he may fall into the category of this Shantarati, where it's very neutral, just like the Kumaras. Dasyarati, where there's kind of a servitude attachment. The Sakyarasi, the Vatsalyarasi, and the Madhuryarati. So these are different kinds of attachments. So this is at that beginning point where one is realizing that form of the Lord. And the Shantarati, that kind of attachment that's very neutral, there isn't very much willingness to render service to the Lord. And whereas a devotee who's experiencing attachment with a kind of servitude mood, they voluntarily want to serve the Lord. And this latter devotee, the one with the servitude attachment, they're able to realize the Lord more fully than the devotee in the Shanta, meaning the kind of neutral attachment, the Shantarati. Because there's a slight difference, that devotee who is considering the Lord to be a worshipable object, this allows him for his attachment to increase. So a little bit different from the devotee in neutrality and his attachment, he's not directly seen the Lord as a worshipable object yet. It's very neutral. So, as something of this discussion is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Madhya Lila in chapter 19. So, the Shantarati, meaning the neutral kind of attachment, it's neither material nor spiritual, while the Dasyarati, the servitude attachment, it's actually on the spiritual platform. So the Sakyarati, or that attachment that devotee experiences, that devotee is treating the Lord on an equal level. So very interesting how attachments can take a different form. So as there's realization of the form of the Lord, there's also a certain attitude that the devotee has. So the Sakyarati devotee, meaning that attachment that's in that kind of equal mood, he's actually treating the Lord as his equal. it means that this kind of mood is present in his mind. But it's still an eternal relationship with the Lord. So these aparamas, those who take pleasure in the self, I've looked at these, focused on two categories just to highlight how attachment has a different form. So it means these different varieties of attachment. And these get established on the path of self-realization, and in all cases there's a desire to render undeviated devotional service to the Lord. So this particular prayer of Lord Brahma is highlighting this necessity for this kind of undeviated devotional service to the Lord, and then what results from that. So I guess I'm just highlighting how the attachment to the Lord is with a different attitude in the mind, and I've specifically, I guess, looked at two categories of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in the self, and just pointed out some subtle difference where liberation will happen for both because there's attachment to that desired, or there's attachment to the Lord and there's desire to perform undeviated devotional service, although in the one case the persons haven't fully awakened their kind of service mood to the Lord, although there's attachment. Now, a devotee is distinguished by his earnestly longing for the mercy of the Lord. Even while he's suffering, this is stated here in the purport, even while he's suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Now, sinful activity has got a very broad definition, actually. It's defined as material life. That means that whatever activities one is doing, if one is not surrendered or functioning as a surrendered soul to Lord Krishna, meaning wanting to perform undeviated devotional activities for his pleasure, one is actually doing sinful activity. So basically, as soon as one forgets Krishna, whatever he is doing is sinful. So there's, you know, one can really split hairs and say there's bad sinful activity and there's good sinful activity, but in either case, this is the broad definition of sinful activity, which is very interesting. it means that one's functioning in a very material way. so whatever one is doing becomes sinful. So as is, I'm quoting now from Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto in the fifth chapter, just to highlight this point. As a sleeping person acts according to the body manifested in his dreams and accepts it to be himself, so one identifies with the present body which he acquired because of his past religious or irreligious actions and is unable to know the past or future also. So this identifying with the present body, it brings that attendant suffering of previous sinful activities. So it's unknown what those activities were. They may have been religious, they may have been irreligious, but basically they were activities performed with having forgotten Krishna. And so the present body brings the reactions for all that forgetfulness, basically. This is Lord Rishabhdev speaking to his sons, and I'm going to read the verse because it's pertinent to Lord Brahma's insight here. Manam pramatha kurate vikarma yad indriya pritaya apnoti na nadu manye yatat manoyam asam api kleshada asa deha. So all to do with the present body coming with its attendant sinful reactions. So when a person is considering gratifying his senses as being the aim of life, then he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living. It's very apparent. We see it when we look around quite graphically. And because of that, he's engaging in all kinds of sinful activities. He doesn't know that due to his past misdeeds, he's already received a body, which even though it's a temporary body, it's the cause of his misery. Actually the living being shouldn't be receiving a material body, but he's been awarded that material body in order to be able to follow this kind of lifestyle of forgetting Krishna and just making it his aim to gratify his senses. Lord Rishabdev actually says he doesn't think that for an intelligent man it's actually befitting to engage himself in this kind of activity of gratifying his senses, because of the fact that he'll perpetually be getting, you know, one temporary material body after another. And so different is the situation for somebody on the path of self-realization, the Atmarama, because he understands that the happiness and the distress that he undergoes is due to performing bhakti. And due to the fact that he's committing aparad, so offences in the process of performing bhakti. And actually that it's a special mercy of the Lord, the particular suffering he's going through. So it's a completely different thing. So the body comes in a certain way, but once one takes to the process of serving the Supreme Lord in devotion, then actually that suffering is of a different flavor altogether. And the understanding is such. Now the suffering is part of the performance of bhakti, and there's some kind of special mercy. So it's kindness on the part of the Lord that that suffering or that happiness is being arranged. So long ago, I recall, well, not that long ago, but quite some time back, I was thinking that it seems that it's very difficult in some sense to approach Krishna. So coming to this point of attachment seems so, so distant. And my spiritual master actually commented that at every single moment, one is performing an offense. So that was very sobering. So indeed, as one's, even though one's in bhakti, one is actually being offensive until one comes to this point of actually experiencing attachment, which is the result of that sidelong merciful glance of the Lord. So one's waiting for that because one wants to make that connection, that proper, have that proper attachment. So this is very different from the person who's acting in ignorance of what he's done in his past and what he's doing in the present and how he'll suffer in the future. There's ignorance on all levels. So very different. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has broken down this term Atmarama, or those who take pleasure into the self, in a way that he's given seven synonyms for an Atmarama. So these are his seven synonyms: Brahman, the absolute truth; body, mind, endeavor, endurance, intelligence, and personal habits. So every one of these has to be involved in order to come to the point of attachment. And interestingly, endeavor is also synonymous with Atma, or being attracted to Krishna's transcendental qualities. So endeavor is absolutely crucial in this whole picture of moving towards attachment to Lord Krishna. And so it's very important to make a great endeavor to come to the point of rendering service to him. Indeed, devotional service can't be attained without endeavor. And it can become successful by endeavor. So endeavor is integral to the Atmarama, or the person who's taking pleasure in the self and moving towards genuine attachment for Lord Krishna. So in that endeavor, the devotee accepts everything that happens as a special arrangement of the Lord, acting for his benefit. Personally, through the patiently going, performing devotional activities, or attempting to, but with the mind not yet having developed the attitude of genuine attachment, I've known that there's been great mercy given, because so much insight was given into the functioning of the mind and the particular patterns present in the mind. And even though there was great suffering in having to look at those patterns, because one traces the sources of particular patterns, one in some sense relives the emotions that go along with certain patterns, there's a sense of exhilaration, because one understands that it's some very great mercy that's allowing one to be able to understand that, oh, this is how conditioning works. So it's certainly a most special arrangement on the part of Lord Krishna. It's actually very touching that kind of arrangement is made. The general person who's living a life where they're ignorant of the activities they're performing and what the future will bring as a result of their activities, or ignorant why their suffering or their happiness is connected to previous activities, that person will understand that the mind is in a problematic state, and so may seek psychological help. And so it may be years of trying to talk through things, but that could never be compared to an arrangement especially made by Lord Krishna, where one can actually observe those patterns, stand back and look at them, understand them, and just feel great gratitude to the Lord for having allowed one to be able to see these patterns that one's carrying. So a very special arrangement. And interestingly enough, to be able to think this way, understanding that there's the intervention of Lord Krishna in one's life, one also understands that one's in a place where karma doesn't actually have an effect on the devotee. It actually doesn't. And actually, everything that's taking place is even outside of time. It's truly a special place. So, I recall the first time I visited Vrindavan. I recalled reading, as I entered Vrindavan, I recalled reading about the Bermuda Triangle, how ships would enter into a particular spot somewhere on the ocean, I forget it, maybe it was the Atlantic Ocean, and they would vanish. So the understanding was that there was like some sort of other time kind of operating in that area. When I entered Vrindavan, I started remembering the Bermuda Triangle because it truly felt like one had actually entered a different plane of existence. And this is that what transpires with this close relationship or this attempt at a relationship with Lord Krishna. One is beyond time. And and here the description or the analogy that's made is that the Lord is seen analogous to a father who knows the needs of the child, particularly he had said the son, and does everything for the benefit of the son. And this is an analogy that actually traces back to Maharaj Prithu, because that's the origin of it. He says, this is Maharaj Prithu, "My Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world would have forgotten their real constitutional position, and out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefit from you. Just as a father not waiting for the son's demands does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think best for me." So this epitomizes the attitude one can have moving towards that attachment to Lord Krishna. And this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 4:20. Verse 31, Maharaj Prithu speaking. So a person who spends his life offering obeisances with body, mind, and words at the lotus feet of the Lord, like Prithu Maharaj, while tolerating these sufferings of austerities that are performed, I mean, I can tell you that there are, personally, there are austerities and some sufferings connected to austerities with performing devotional service. I mean, in my case, it's, am I going to make that train on time? That was this morning, in order to arrive at just the right moment, because there's big gaps between the trains. So that person who's having that kind of attitude of constantly offering obeisances with body, mind, and words to the lotus feet of the Lord, tolerating the sufferings that go along with performing austerities or other hardships, he becomes the recipient. And this is Lord Brahma's whole point in this verse. He becomes the recipient of two results. The first result is liberation from material bondage, and the second is service to the Lord. So one is going through practice and practice, but one actually gets awarded service to the Lord at that point of attachment. And there's, one is liberated from being bound to these conditions in the mind that keep one so trapped, performing activities that are forced by activities from previous life, or actually performing activities that, because of that kind of dictation, one is forced to then experience a future life where one just perpetuates the whole cycle. So one gets freed, so liberated from material bondage. So these two particular things allow for a devotee to maintain his life while living in this world. So that is what fuels one Knowing that there's going to be liberation from material bondage, and one practically experiences it gradually. You know, these, Srila Prabhupada calls it these shackles, they start falling away. And one knows one's going to genuinely enter into the service of the Lord. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87. Only if they become your faithful followers are those who breathe actually alive. Otherwise, their breathing is like that of the bellows. So actually, one is just like a bellow, you know, taking in air in and out. It's without meaning. Unless one has got the purpose correct for one's life. One cannot remain ignorant of the self. One wants to acknowledge one's benefactor, and one doesn't want to fail to worship him. That was Lord Brahma's whole point in this verse, as I understood it, and it's such a famous verse, and I was very fearful that I can't do justice to it. But if there's any thoughts on this matter.
Hare Krishna. Well, firstly, I just want to say thank you, because as you said last, that this is a very famous verse, and you were worried that you would do justice to it, and I was wondering who was going to give class on this verse, and I was praying that whoever it was would really flush it out and bring all of the angles, and, you know, sometimes we throw around superficial praise because it's just the polite thing to do, but really, thank you for bringing out so many wonderful points in this verse and really flushing it out and bringing it out. It was very nice, particularly for me. I have been quite excited the last few days because I've been reading about this point of a devotee not having karma. And Sri Vishwanath gives in 6 or 7 places in the Bhagavatam a lot of information about this. And you really summed it up very nicely. And I think it's so important that devotees understand this principle, because oftentimes we see the opposite misconception that I'm fettered by my karma, I've done as much bhakti as I can in this life. So many, a myriad of misconceptions are there in our society about this particular thing. And it's so nice when we hear from Shastra that not only is this not a problem, but Krishna is actually, as you were saying, he is orchestrating our path to perfection at every moment. And it's such an important part of anartha nivritti to understand this, that actually my only job is to practice bhakti, and then Krishna does the purifying by me focusing on him. He's the one who is the purifier there, and then we are actually able to enter into that. So I can't really come with a question, but I had to express my appreciation. Thank you for flushing it out so much.
Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. You know, one prays fervently that somehow one can represent the insights that have come from our acharyas. So if some little endeavor was made in that direction and it was heard, I'm very appreciative of your kind words. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Vasuji, thank you for your class. I second that, with Josh said. So,
devotees are so kind.
And one thing, maybe you could expand on some of the points that came to mind also from your class and from this verse, is that how you were making a point that, like Bhatta Josh said, karma doesn't have effect on devotees. You were mentioning that, I believe. And you mentioned a Bermuda Triangle ships and that. Yeah, I heard those like some portals you shouldn't go there, so I'm glad you were like safe and didn't disappear. So I've heard stories throughout history, but anyway, this verse reminded me of the story of Noah's Ark in the Bible, where God told Noah, there's a flood coming. In order for you and your families to survive, you have to build an ark, a ship. And in this verse, it says, Vipakam, there's a flood of karma, fruits of activities coming. And in order for us to spiritually survive, we have to build character with our body, mind, and words. So there's a nice quote that says, ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. We can't stop everything on the outside, opposition, criticism, rumors, or traffic. But if we allow what's on the outside to get on the inside, then we'll sink into depression, fear, anger, vengeance, etc. And that's why Krishna says, one verse that reminds me in chapter 4, verse 36 of the Gita, Krishna says, even if you are considered the greatest sinner of sinners, you have a lot of karma. But if you are situated on a boat of transcendental knowledge, then you'll be able to cross the ocean of miseries. So my comment is regarding basically comparing, let's say, true difficulties and minor difficulties. There's the pastime of the Bhante Brahma in the Bhagavatam. I don't remember which chapter, but it's in the 11th canto. It basically describes that he was like a jerk. He was a domestic. He was performed domestic violence. He was greedy. He was rude to his family. Long story short, he got his karma in one lifetime. He lost his family. He lost his money, and then he became a sannyasi. So people criticize him, oh, you're just becoming a sannyasi because you're broke now. And long story short, he accepted as, you know, this is my karma. So people urinated in his bowl. They spit on him, passed foul on air, beat him, so many things. But he was completely undetached because he was situated on a boat of transcendental knowledge. So that's a real difficulty, we say, but he was undisturbed. Now, on the other hand, there's many pastimes where we see minor difficulties. One that came to mind is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khan, chapter 21. It describes the story of a Bhagavatam speaker, a celibate monk. He was celibate his whole life. His name was Devananda Pandit. And he was known for giving Bhagavatam classes. So one day, Lord Chaitanya's devotee, part of Panchatabha, Srivas Thakur, he heard Bhagavatam class going on, so he entered the class. And Devananda Pandit was giving class to all of his students. So Srivas Thakur, he was crying in love and ecstasy for the Bhagavatam, because it describes that every word of Bhagavatam is infused with so much love. So while Bhagavatam was going on, he was crying. He was sighing, and so because of this, it annoyed David Pandit. He considered it a flood of difficulties, and because he considered it a flood of difficulties, and so did his students, they considered it a nuisance, that his students literally picked up Srivas Thakur and threw him out of Bhagavatam class, because he considered this, but it was actually a blessing, a devotee. So my question is that in our devotional life, we could see in the material world, how do we keep things in perspective? Because, you know, we could go to Syria. We could go to so many places, even in Chicago, there's so many worse places. And then when we come to Bhagavatam, how can we not over-exaggerate our problems? Like, this is a difficulty when we get in these small arguments with devotees. This is a flood of difficulties. Actually, associating with devotees is a blessing. It's not a flood of difficulties. So how can we reprogram our mind and prevent ourselves from further committing aparads?
Yeah, to reiterate the point, actually the Avanti Brahmana came to recognize that most suffering is in one's own mind. So if one is fixing one's mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, it means that one is transcending suffering. And so anything that plays itself out in the mind, one can observe it and be detached from it, because one's cultivating attachment to Lord Krishna. So the suffering comes if one's attached to the mind and actually thinks, ah, this is reality. That's where the suffering comes. So in all cases, if one's experiencing suffering, it means that one is seeing what's in the mind as reality. And the immediate cue when one starts to feel the suffering is, oh, I've forgotten Krishna. So one puts one's mind at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And so that may be literally that one actually goes and sees the deity and, you know, prays to the deity to please allow one to not have the mind be overriding one's reality. So, you know, one can hear or chant, but at any rate, that's what the issue is. And the Avanti Brahman understood that. That's why he was able to be completely detached. you know, had he been thinking, oh, I've lost my family, I've lost my wife, I've lost my friends, everybody dislikes me, you know, he could have taken the route that any materialistic person would have taken, which would have been to be in a state of complete distress, but that wasn't the position that he took. His was a position of looking for upliftment. So so that's really the answer. I think, you know, stepping away from the mind and not seeing it as one's reality, because that's the cause of suffering. So thank you very much for your very kind attention to the Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.